me. Touch me now and make me all that I should be. Of the mountain in the valley, restore my soul. Lord, I come through in your eyes. With your hand that once was nail scarred just for me, touch me now and make me all that I should be. Restore my soul in the valley, that I might be worthy at last to stand with thee up on top of the mountain. Worthy at last to stand with thee up on top of the mountain. In the valley, restore my soul.
Or I want you. I've got a hold of something, and it's got a hold of me. It opened up my eyes, and now I can see that the way up is down. Oh, down on bended knee. Well, humble my spirit, Lord, and have your way in me. Oh, I've got a hold of something, and it's got a hold of me. Well, it opened up my eyes, and now I can see that the way up is down. And now I can see that way up is down. Oh,
all day worshiping God with my brothers and sisters, and I'm happy to do so. Wouldn't want to be anywhere else. I threw up a total blank. That's something I was going to say. It must not supposed to have been said. But looking forward to the youth meeting in a couple of weeks. Serve the youth of the body of Christ. And for them to try to get something for their soul. Appreciate Brother Smith's burden for the youth. That he is... Had a burden for the youth here anyway, and for the body of Christ. And this church here has been a long-standing outpost for the youth of the body of the Christ in having youth meetings. I don't know how many youth across the body have said that they have received the Holy Ghost at the youth meeting in Little Rock, or they had rededicated themselves at the youth meeting in Little Rock. And so I want to be a part of that tradition that's began here long ago. I don't how long has this church been having that youth this youth meeting, Brother Weiniger? Brother Tucker was alive. He had a burden for the youth, and so he passed that burden on to this church. And so I'm glad to get on the tradition of these youth meetings. And when the build, I remember when this building was built. It's funny, I was talking to Paul Martin, and when we were, he come, I think, down. That they came down. When did they come down? It was just a random weekend. He was telling me, it was actually before we went up there for the wedding, and he was telling me that when he heard they were remodeling this church, that it shocked him. Well, he told that here. He told that here. It shocked him that, man, they just built that church. Well, Paul, that was 20 years ago they built that church. As I remember when they built it, I pulled up for a meeting, and Brother Bilbrey had tore through a line and run into Brother Crow's truck, and Brother Randy Liniger was out there putting the finishing touches on that sign out there on the stone. That was all that was left, and Brother Trail did the asphalt, I believe. I remember when this church was built. Was that 85? 85. I was about probably hair lighter than Nathan's back those days. That blonde hair. And I remember the feeling I got here in Little Rock, and the good spirit that the Lord brought in to bless the body. And I don't remember what kind of meeting was that. Was it just a regular meeting, or was that a general meeting, or is that a minister's meeting? It was from all over. I remember it was a general meeting. Back then, a church this size was holding a general meeting. And today, the body of Christ has grown. You couldn't have general meeting in this church. General meetings need to have a capacity of at least 1,000, and so we ministers meetings and youth meetings about what we can have now. But back then, a church, I remember, was coming into the body of Christ. The biggest meeting then was Houston every Labor Day weekend, and we look forward to going. And as a kid, you look forward to going and buying candy from Brother Julius and playing in the band and walking out in the flea market. But I got the Holy Ghost when I was in 1978 in Houston, Texas. As a me and Sister Yvonne got the same night. I believe same night. Same night. We got received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Welcome. Glad y'all made it. Praise God. Anyway, so we're going to been coming down here for the last several years and helping in the ministers' meeting, helping in the youth meeting. We had a great time last year working in the meeting, helping, and I look forward to it this year. Serve in what capacity I can, but I was thinking we live in a perilous time, in a serious time. And the Lord has got me thinking. He's kind of got my mind girded up in a sense to sober up in my thinking. To know that this is a very, very serious time. That we've got more and more signs of the beast system gaining more control in the earth, and that I went down to the river last night, watched the fireworks, and if you know me, that's not my deal. River Fest, any kind of big crowd gathering, I usually run the other direction. But I've been such a stick in the mud. That's just another reminder. I get reminded all the time. I'm such a stick in the mud. Y'all think that Mike's just the life of the party. But really, you don't want to know that Mike... Here I am talking in third person. Here I am. I'm a life of a small party. I'm not the big crowd guy, but I worked on myself last night the best I could, and went down there and I tried to find a really good escape route, you know, so I can get in my car and leave, because I didn't want to get trapped in the traffic. But as we're standing down there watching the crowds, and it was quite a crowd, I thought to myself, Lord, I've got to have more than what I've got to reach these people. These people need you. And I seen some Christian folks down there, knew they was Christian, why they dressed. And I was around a bunch of wasn't, because the way they dressed and the things we could smell in the air and a little bit of this and a little bit of that. But I didn't think in my mind. I knew that they had problems, but I was thinking, Lord, if I need something besides what I've got to be able to reach these people. And I thought, I need some sort of anointing. I need some kind of quickening. But then the thought hit me, when it's time, get yourself ready, because when it's time, I'll use you. Let me know that the Lord is in control. He's not just, the call is out there. The harvest is getting close. I want to be a willing worker. I want to be a willing vessel that I could reach out into this lost and dying world. I know that God's going to make a call come out of my people, but the sea's also going to give up their dead. I want to reach out. There's people in the world. There's people that's backslid, that knew God once, and there's people that's never heard the name of the Lord. They grew up not knowing anything about God. That God's going to call in this last days, and He needs workers. He needs reapers. One to go through the fields in this life and gather up His harvest. Now, there's some that are, if you ever grew a garden, you get some early fruit, early vegetables. You know, you go through, oh, hey, here's an okra clip. Oh, here's one. But then before too long, you're out there clipping okra every day. You're getting a few beans here and a few beans there, but before long, when the harvest is ready, you're gathering a bunch of beans. You get a ripe tomato here and a ripe tomato there, but then comes a day when you're getting a whole bushel full of tomatoes and squash. You getting hungry, Brother Daniels? My wife went down to the farmer's market and brought back some fresh squash, and let me tell you, ain't getting yours. They brought back some fresh squash, and you can tell when you got some fresh squash. Well, Brother Smith was talking today. People were searching for somebody to love them. I was thinking about when he was talking. He had mentioned Michael Jackson, and as a little kid, I knew all the little Jackson 5 songs, and when I was a teenager, I knew some of his other stuff. But there's a man that was searching for a father to love him. He never believed his daddy loved him, and anything he can do to get somebody to accept him, my brother Smith said, changes the way he looked, changes all of his features, his face, to gain more acceptance. And the only people he could find himself around that he felt loved him was little kids. There's a lot of people that feel the same way. They just don't go to the extremes that he did. They're looking for somebody to love them. They're just dying for somebody to love them. Well, God loves them. But God needs a manifestation of His love through His people to reach out to those people and let them know, I love you. Unconditionally, I love you. I accept you where you're at. And guess what? I've got something better for you. Not only do I love you, I'm going to pull you out of your condition, and I'm going to give you something that you never thought would be possible. Is take that old corrupt nature that you were born with in Adam and transform it into my likeness. A love so great that you would be willing to lay down your life. Not just for your friends, but for the whole world. That's the kind of love that we have. That's the kind of love my Father has. My Heavenly Father up in heaven loves us so much. He sent His only begotten Son. And He was willing to lay down His life for all humanity in order that He may restore that which He took not away. I want to be a part of that. I want to realize my calling is more than just me. It's more than just about me. Your calling is more than just about you. Your salvation is more than just about you. You're to be a part of this, a part of the ministry. You're part of the works of service. Hallelujah. To minister to the body and to reach out in love and to help gather this great gathering. Jesus told the disciples, He came out upon them. He said, "You caught any fish?" "No, we've been fishing all night and ain't caught no fish." He said, "Cast your net on the other side." Well, the Lord said cast it. So they cast the net on the other side. And they brought in, they caught so many fish, they had to call in the other boat to help. And we know that's a picture of the great harvest that God harvested. They caught, they gathered everything they could gather back in that age 2,000 years ago. And they're calling us, the Gentiles, on the latter rain. Come over, help us catch, pull these fish. There's going to be a great harvest. There's going to be all we can handle. And then we're going to be part of, I want to be part of that net. Interwoven with you, with you, with everybody, where we can pull in the people of God and save this dying world from the wrath that is to come. Praise God. It's just good to be here. Okay, I know about you. You've been here before, though. So, okay, brother Calvin, and this is your family here? Wife and your son and daughter, is that right? Sister-in-law, okay. Glad to have y'all. Glad to have y'all. Brett had you out to look at his roof, and I think he invited him to church. And so I'm glad that you're here. I think you pastor a church, is that right, in Benton? Okay. So we love God's ministry. Feel free, you're welcome. If you've been here before, you know the liberty that you have. So just want to welcome everybody here tonight. Bless God. Praise the Lord.
Testing. Brother Mike was reading this. Now I can't even say the word. Thinking back when we first built the local church, well, I was thinking back even farther when Brother McGowan and Brother Tally and Brother Daniels can remember back when we was at the Barton Coliseum and we got that meeting ready. And some of the shenanigans little teenage boy did get ready for that meeting. We had the meeting back then too. And I remember at that particular meeting, I met a World War II vet that was actually at Pearl Harbor, and he told me his personal experience when he was at the Pearl Harbor incident. And I'll never forget those words, but another great thing that happened at that meeting, Sister Mary Jean Rainwater said, "Brother Keith, you." I said, "What?" She says, "You're going to be over in the trash area taking care of the ministers of the body of Christ." And I thought, me? You know, I thought, I got to take care of all, I mean, I thought these guys were the generals of the body. And I thought, I'm taking care of the generals. I'd rather be taking care of the buck privates, you know. That's what I thought to my mind. So, you know, who knows what's going to happen in our future meetings. You're going to just be selected, you. And then all of a sudden, you're going to have to take care of the potential leaders of the body of Christ and all the different ones, you know. So, you know, that's why I was thinking back in 1977, you know, I just... Man, and then it mentioned Brother Julius. I mean, I looked up to Brother Julius, and then I started looking down to him. But, you know, that's another thing, you know. And if you don't know, Brother Julius was only 4 foot tall. And, you know, so that's how come I started looking down to him. But when I was a little boy, I thought, man, this guy's a man, and he's only 4 foot tall, and I was about his height also. So I thought, if he's a man, so can I be a man at that height. But, you know, that's irrelevant. It doesn't matter how tall you are or how little you are. It's what kind of man you have inside. It's the type of man that you really are inside. There's been great men in history that's been a little bit low in the drawers. But there's been great men in history that you'd have to look up to them regardless. But I just want to be an average man, an average height man, that people can look up to me for what I tried to do in church. I ain't going to say I've been perfect. I hadn't walked on water yet. But at least, you know, as his mention of Michael Jackson, I made a little quote. If only 1% of American people, and only if I meant, remember, I'm going to cut it down a little bit more. Only an eighth, just an eighth of the amount of time that Michael Jackson was remembered. When I pass away, if I'm just remembered, that little amount, I put my mark on somebody. But hopefully, I'll be forgotten maybe a year from the time I die, but you know. And I'm not that, and I'm starting to admit, my nephew's going to be happy now. I'm getting old now. Because I'm only 3 years younger than Michael Jackson was. So I'm getting old now. So if he can die that young, you know, that's, I'm going to have to admit I'm old. But I'm thankful that I've been raised in the body of Christ. And as Brother Smith calls me, he don't call me directly, but indirectly, I've been a body brat. And Brother McGowan knows I've been a body brat. Brother Talley knows I've been a body brat. Brother Daniels knows I've been a body brat. I've been around. But now, maybe that little brat can straighten up his act and do better. And all of us little body brats, but this is the one that said amen over there. We are all the body brats. And we grew up in this church. We grew amongst this people. Some of us don't know. As Brother Daniels used to say, I don't know nothing but this. All I got is what came out of a book, what somebody else believes. But what little knowledge I know, as Brother Mike was making reference of, I can at least take my little sickle and what little knowledge I know with what they believe, I can harvest some of those people and say, oh, you come from this background. Well, you believe such and such, such and such. You want to believe in going to Nirvana? Well, let me show you another Nirvana. Or, you celebrate Yom Kippur. Well, I know a little bit about Yom Kippur. But we can actually use the little knowledge we know about them to bring them in. So I'm looking forward to that harvest. And as Brother Tucker wanted to have, you know, this might not be mentioned, it might be so forgotten. He was always mentioning Joseph's coat of many colors. And I'd like to see this whole church where you could look over and say, I can't see Brother Keith, where's he at? Because we'll have so many different people that look so close together that we won't recognize the other. We'll say, oh, where's Brother Talley? Is he, oh, he could be, forget it, I ain't going to try to find Brother Talley, it's so crowded in here. I want to see this church really massively fill up, and that we'll have to have satellite assemblies, that we'll just have to say, okay, you got the West Little Rock Church, you got the East Little Rock Church, you got the North Little Rock Church, you got the South Little Rock Church. Okay, we got the Alexander Church. We got the Conway Church. We got this church. I'd like to see it where we have satellite churches all over this place and that we have a major harvest that's going on. That's my, is it a dream or is it a vision or what do you want to call it? I'm wanting to see the people of Little Rock saved. And the people of North Little Rock saved. And the people of Conway saved. Sherwood. Hey, we already got the Apostle Sherwood over there. So we got it covered. So, you know, and then we got Lonoke. We got that area. We got Jacksonville and all that. There's a big old harvest. Are we ready to put out that sickle or what? So I'm thankful to be here. And I'm thankful for the meetings we've been in. And I'm thankful might be good or bad to say. I'm glad I'm one of them body brats.
Thinking about when Brother Mike was up talking about God's love, and I thought, where would we be if it wasn't for His love? And I'm just thankful for God's mercy and His love to me. And I was thinking of this chorus. Because He loves me, that's why I love Him. And He gets sweeter with every passing day. Oh, I was nothing when He found me, but with His mercy He surrounds me, and I love Him. That's all that I can say.
too may live also. Lord, we just thank you. We just thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's kind of not hard to talk about Jesus when somebody gives you an opportunity. If you ever met such a man who can turn your life around and change the path and the direction that you were heading, the Bible said, we were all born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and we needed a Savior to save us from the destructive path that we were heading on. And I am so grateful now that I met him. I'm grateful first that he called. The Bible said nobody can come to God unless he call you. And I'm so grateful that he called and gave me an ear to hear and a mind to be obedient to the calling. I ran for a second and thought I had escaped, because I knew he couldn't have been talking about me when the lifestyle that I was living. I knew he couldn't have been calling me into the body. And then when he called me later on, he called me to preach the gospel, and I still knew he couldn't have been talking about me. But after continuous reading and submitting, Isaiah 54, where it said, "Woe unto me to preach the gospel, to mend the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, to preach the acceptable time of the Lord." I might not be quoting that exactly the way it is. I knew then he was talking about me. The tears came streaming down. The presence of God overwhelmed me. And it was time to be about my Father's business. The gentleman introduced me, he said, "Now my work is roofing." I was in a conference this past week before last, and Dr. Miles Monroe kind of gave clarity on the difference between your work and your job. Now, my job is the construction, but the work is the spreading of the gospel. And he said, you can get fired from your job, but once you find your calling in the body of Christ, you can never get fired from that. If they won't hear you in here, you can go out on the streets and tell it. You can tell it in the supermarkets. You can tell it in the shopping centers. You can tell it at the grocery store, wherever you may be. When God put that fire in you to do the work, you can sing in the supermarket and lift somebody up. You know, you can sing on the streets and lift somebody up. Nobody can fire you from your work that God calling you to do. And that's the fulfilling, one of the fulfilling of Jesus' joy, when you're able to reach out and touch and bless somebody else, to give them what God has given you, the joy and the peace, to impart in them what the Lord has imparted in you. Everybody that Jesus touched, they wanted to run and tell somebody. The woman at the well, the healing of the blind man, they wanted to go tell somebody, come see your man. And we all should have that testimony in us and not let it die. That's why we come and continue to be renewed and to be re-strengthened. This is the reason we come, to even get some more. We had service this morning, but we wanted some more. We desire more of him. The Bible said, draw nigh unto him that he may draw nigh unto you. He's constantly asking us to come closer. The other brother was talking about evangelizing. Well, we got to continue to have the fire burning till we just can't. We be like Jeremiah said, it was like fire shut up in my bones. I tried to sit down on it, but I couldn't sit down on it because the fire. And I see the need to tell this world. When we turn on the news and hear all the crime, the senseless crime that's going on from day to day, you know, we can't run from it. The Bible says we're in the world, but we're not of the world. It's a need to tell these people. And God said, if we don't do it, he'll have the rocks crying out for us. I don't want no rock crying out for me. I don't want no rock getting my reward. I want my reward in heaven and on the earth. So God giving us a voice
and we have to use it. He will give us what to say. He told us, even when they bring us to court, he said, don't even think about what you're going to say. Just think about him. We've talked this morning about having the right attitude. And having the right attitude will give you unlimited latitude. So having the right attitude beforehand, yes, let them persecute you. Let them talk about you. But God is going to get the glory if we stay in the character of a Christian. If we maintain our Christian integrity to do the will that God sent. Because Jesus, the whole time, his mind was saying, I came to do the work. He said, I came to do the work that my Father has sent me. Now, I didn't come to make no reputation of my own, but I come to do the work of him that sent me. He stayed focused on that, even though he was talked about, called a Beelzebub, said that he was of a devil, his healing was of a devil. But he stayed focused on the work to redeem mankind, to go to the cross for our sins, to nail our sins to the cross so we may have the victory. So I just encourage you to continue to see fit to do the will of God, to do the work of God. That's something nobody can take from you. And believe me, my brother, there's somebody watching you. God has allowed everybody to have come in some accountability. The body, it has all different parts on it. Every part is significant. It might not be as big as the next man, but that's all right. We just do our part, and then God is pleased. God is pleased. Your life is enriched. So there's somebody watching. You just never know. You never know who's watching what you do. The time you leave out your door in the morning to go to your job, and the time you come home, whatever it is that you do, you never know. There's somebody, whether it be a child, they're watching you. So your ministry is going forth right now. If they see you put on a attire to go out to the house of God, to the house of worship, they're watching. What, and they might ask, Mommy, what is he doing? Why is he dressed like that? Why is she dressed like that? Well, I believe they're going to church. What is that church thing all about? You never know how God is working it out. But we are to be the light. I thank God for my family. This is my son, Joseph, my wife, Penny, and my sister-in-law, Sarita. My daughter's out of town, and we pray for her safe return home. But I thank you guys. Thank you for this opportunity to come up before you. May God bless you and keep you, and we hope to fellowship with you all again. We just want to do God's will.
I'm thankful to be here tonight, and I'm thankful that no matter who we are, no matter where we are, but there is always something God will have us to do. I don't think there's a person in this world that is just put here, you know, just to eat, sleep, and go through the life without, you know, without a real purpose. And I've been praying that God will show me a definite purpose for my life, because I'm not satisfied where I am. I'm not satisfied with what little I'm doing, but I'm praying that God will use me and I don't know how to say it, but the make my life productive, you know, especially, you know, in souls, because I have a burden for souls, and I know that, you know, that in the past few years, you know, that I haven't I haven't been doing all that I could do, and I'm very regretful at that. But if the Lord, I know that He'll forgive me for the lack that I have not been doing, and that if I obey Him, and if I obey His word, that through it all, you know, that the results will be seen for my life. Y'all bear with me. I'm nervous, and I haven't sang this for a while, and so sometimes it takes me a minute to get the tune going, but anyway. My lot in life may never be to travel far across the sea, but I'll be faithful where my Lord's commission be. My feet may never breast the sand of some distant heathen land,